So this morning's Bible reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It's chapter 12 that we're in, and we're looking at starting at sentence 14 all the way down to 27. And in the church Bibles, if you're following along, which is great to do, it's on page 1153. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at sentence 14. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say,
"Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,"
it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say,
"Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,"
it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand,
"I don't need you."
And the head cannot say to the feet,
"I don't need you."
On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
This little bit of the Bible we have here is part of a letter. It's part of a letter written by a guy called Paul to a church. Now, we don't write letters, or maybe you do, but often we don't write letters by hand anymore. We might type them on the computer, or we might send a message on our phones. But Paul had visited this church, he had moved on somewhere else, and now he's writing a letter to them. And he writes a letter to them because he wants them to be united. He wants them to be one together. But the issue in this church is they're not united. They're divided. So instead of being one together, they all go off in their little groups. And they look at the other groups and they go, they're not great, are they? We're better than them. And so Paul writes to them because he wants them to be united. He wants them to be one. And our chapter here, chapter 12, is a little bit like a sandwich or a burger. So in a sandwich or a burger, you get the two pieces of bread, top and bottom, and then you get the meat in the middle, the main part, the thing that we like the most. And in this chapter, Paul's writing a little bit of a sandwich or a burger. And so what we're going to do is we look at it. We're going to look at the main parts, the meat, and then we're going to look at the bread bit after we've sung another song. Because Paul really wants us to focus on and get this main part, the meat. And in this main part, in this middle bit, what Paul wants us to understand is that he wants the church to be united, to be one, and to be diverse, to be different. So he says there needs to be unity, to be oneness, to be sameness, and yet in the unity, there's diversity, there's difference amongst everyone. And here's the emphasis that Paul makes as he says that. The church is to be one, it's united, and yet as the church is one, it's made up of many, many, many diverse and different people. Now, to help us understand this, Paul comes up with a brilliant illustration, a brilliant metaphor, a brilliant picture to help us get it. He uses the body because he says the body is a brilliant picture of these two things in action. Unity, because it's one body, and diversity. It's made up of loads and loads of different parts. But the big thing about the body that Paul wants to stress, that even though it's one made up of lots of different parts, all the different parts are really, really important. And so as he shows us that, he has this kind of funny, almost thought experiment. And that's where the different voices during the reading came up. So have a look down in your Bibles or on the piece of paper. And here's his little thought experiment, sentence 15. He says, imagine if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, well, surely I don't belong to the body. Well, if it thought that, it wouldn't for any reason stop being a part of the body, would it? Or sentence 16, if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. Paul says, no, you need every single different part because the differences make it to a body. Sentence 17, if the whole body was an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? All the parts are needed. And in fact, he goes on, Paul says, in fact, the bits that we don't see, or the bits that we might not be sure what they're doing, well, often they're the most important bits. So if you think, and maybe this is a bit hard to do, but if you think of all the things that we can't see in the body, often all the things in this area, what was it, John, the torso, in this kind of area, all the different things that are underneath your skin and your bones, they're often the most important parts, hidden away, kept safe, and yet so important. But what on earth is Paul doing here? Why do I feel like I'm being taken all the way back to school and given a biology lesson of all the different parts of the body? Well, he wants to say, think of a body, because that's exactly what a church is like. And so he talks about all the different types of people that you might get in a church. And as he gives that little thought experiment, he shows all the different types of people. And he shows two types of people in particular. He talks about the types of people who think they're kind of nothing. They've got nothing to offer. They look at themselves and they think, well, why am I here? And he talks about the different types of people who think they've got everything to offer. They're pretty proud of themselves. They think, I've got something to offer. Everyone would want to be like me. So let's think about those two people. Over here, hopefully it'll come up on the screen, we've got Nothing Nikki. Nothing Nikki. He or she is a little bit like the foot in verse 15, or the ear in verse 16. And so Paul says, just like the foot looks at the hand and thinks, oh man, I'm nothing like a hand. They can do so much. I just stay on the floor most of the time getting dirty, but the hands, they can do so much. Or the ear, looking at the eye and thinking, oh, I wish I was just like an eye. I'm rubbish in comparison. And Paul says it's a little bit like someone in church who looks at other people and says, I wish I was a little bit more like them. I can't do anything special. I've got nothing to offer. And Paul wants to say, no, we need everyone. We need all the differences that everyone can bring to the church. It's vital. He says, don't dismiss yourself because you might think that you're worthless. That's a wonderful encouragement to us all. But then over on this side, we have, who have we got? Something Sam. Something Sam. He's a bit like the eye who looks at the hand and thinks, oh, I don't need you. I'm so much better than you. The eye who forgets that sometimes you get the eyelash in your eye and then where's your hand to help you get it out? And these are the people in church who might look at other people and go, look, I'm better than them. I've got something to offer, but they haven't really got anything to offer. In fact, there's nothing that they can give me that I would benefit from. I just don't need to know them. And Paul says, no. You can't dismiss any other person or dismiss any of their gifts. That's a wonderful challenge to us all, isn't it? Because Paul wants to stress there's a danger in a church that we can kind of lift up the people who we think might be more important or more special or have more to offer. And Paul wants to challenge us all. Everyone is special. Everyone is important. Everyone has something to offer. It might be that you're over here and you can feel pretty small and unimpressive when you come to church. Maybe you're a child. Maybe you're younger. And you think, well, what's my place? Do I just kind of keep over there and I just stay quiet? Or maybe you're an adult and you come to church and you think, well, I look around and I'm nothing like these other impressive people. What have I got to offer? Maybe you're a fairly new Christian. You're fairly new to all of this. And you go, look, the other people around, they've been Christians for longer than I've been alive and they know so much. What am I here? Or maybe you're an older person and you think, well, I had my time. I could offer something back then, but now I just feel a bit of a burden to people. And Paul wants to go, no, you are all so important. Or it might be that you're over here and you look at others and you think, I don't think I need anyone else. I'm all right on my own. Maybe you can look at the children and you go, they're just a bit annoying, loud. They run around and get in my way. And Paul wants to go, they're vital. It's why we bring them back at the end, because we think we're one body and we want to show that difference in our ages. Maybe you look at other adults and you think, I don't need them. I don't need to get to know them or what they might offer me. Now, Paul wants to say, now you, that's every single one of you here, now you are part of, are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. And so Paul says, just like a human body, well, the church is one body. And just like your human body has lots of different parts to it, so the church has lots of different parts to it. All these different names of different people offering different things to make up the church. It's unity and diversity. It's one body with lots of different parts. And Paul says, everyone is vital. Everyone is important. Everyone is needed. There's the first thing. There's the main thing. We're going to sing now. So I'm going to hand back and then we'll look at the rest of it in a moment.
We've got our next reading now. You'll be pleased you don't have to stand up at any point in this reading. Myself and Caroline are going to read this to you. So, it's 1 Corinthians 12. We're now going sort of back in time to verses 4 through to 11. So you can follow through in your Bibles, or it's on the second passage on the back of your sheets. So when you're ready, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts,
but the same Spirit.
There are different kinds of service,
but the same Lord.
There are different kinds of working,
but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good.
To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. to another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of tongues.
Get out of breath. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines.
But hopefully you saw in that song how it emphasised the main point that Paul wants to get across in this chapter, in his letter to the church, that we're one, that we are, as a church, to be united. And yet, in our unity, there is big difference. That was the big point in the first section, in the middle bit, the meat. And now as we look at the outer bit and we look at those verses that were just read to us, we actually see how Paul starts with that. Have a look down in verses, sentence 4-6, the first bit, how Paul emphasizes this again, unity and diversity. And so as I read those verses, if you've got your notice sheet on the back and you've got a little pen, maybe the pen that you wrote your name, feel free to underline where you see the unity emphasized by Paul and where you see the diversity, the difference emphasized by Paul. So here's what he says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them, in all men. You see, Paul wants to go, there's difference, different kind of gifts, sentence 4, different kinds of service, sentence 5, different kinds of working, sentence 6, and yet all of this happens in unity. It's the same Spirit, sentence 4. It's the same Lord, sentence 5. It's the same God, sentence 6. And actually, in these verses, Paul is actually showing us the reason why the church is to be united as one. He says, be united as one because God is united as one. Did you notice how in these sentences, Paul mentions the different parts, the different persons of the Trinity, the Spirit, the Lord, the God? Paul's given us a wonderful picture of the body, the human body, as one and many, united and diverse. And Paul gives us another picture, a wonderful picture of God, united as one God, and yet diverse, different in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so Paul says, be a church like God, united as one body, and yet different, with lots of different people playing different parts and different roles. And so then he goes on to show how that works itself out, as the Holy Spirit gives gifts. And he shows that they are given to every single person. Did you notice the emphasis? Sentence 7, now to each one. Paul says, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit gives you gifts. And then in sentences 8-10, he lists different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Now, I don't think these are all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, because in different parts of the Bible, there's other gifts that are mentioned. And so this is just an example of some of the gifts. Maybe these were big gifts that were present in the church that Paul was writing to. And so he's not saying, here are all the gifts, make sure you've got all the gifts in your church, but rather, here are an example of some of the gifts. Some of these you might have, some of these you might not. But there are so many loads and loads of different gifts, ways that the Holy Spirit, God, has gifted you to play your parts. Every person who is part of the body, every person is gifted, given a gift by God. And yet, here is the key with these gifts. You might have noticed during the reading, if your head was down following it, that John was pausing at different points. What you wouldn't have seen is Caroline scurrying around, giving gifts to different people as the gifts were mentioned. And yet, here is the key with those gifts that are given to people. These gifts are given so that we can give. These gifts are given so that we can give. Have a look at sentence 7. Paul says, now to each one, to every person, the manifestation, man, that is a big word. Manifestation, that's the kind of the work of the Holy Spirit, the way that the Holy Spirit works himself out. The manifestation, the work of the Spirit, is given for the common good. You see, these gifts are not given to you so that you can say, oh, look at my gift. Look how impressive I am. Look at the things that I can do. Look at what I can offer to the church. I'm pretty decent. Paul says, no, you've got it all wrong. These gifts are so you can give to others. The common good, it's to do good for other people or for the good of other people. Gifts, spiritual gifts, are given for the advantage of every other person in the church. Our gifts are given so we can bless and look after and love every other person in this church. So if you were given a gift during the reading, I'm afraid that's not your gift to keep or to open. Here's what I want you to do with the gift, if you're happy to, is to come forward and just put your gift at the bottom of our body with all our names of this church. If you've got a gift, come on forward and just place it on the floor in front of the body. Because here is the point of our gifts. They are given to us so that we can give them to other people. Given to us so we can give them for the good of everyone who makes up our body. Different gifts given to all, given for the good of the body, for unity. Now, I remember when I was a little kid. I've got three brothers. I wasn't very good at buying presents or giving presents to them when it was their birthday. So this is the way we did it in the Woodbridge house when we were younger. When it was one of my brother's birthdays, my mum would give me the gift that I was to give to my brother. Sometimes I wanted it. It was a pretty good present. But the whole point was that because I wasn't able to get it for them, she would give me the gift, but not for myself, so that I could go and give it to my brother when it was his birthday. A gift I'm given to give to others. I realise it's slightly out of season, given it's starting to get a little bit warmer. But one thing I do enjoy at Christmas are the different Christmas ads that come out. I think I wait most of the year for the John Lewis one, and to be honest, I'm probably a bit disappointed by it. But let me take you back to one advert where it's about a little boy who is so excited about Christmas Day. He cannot wait for it. He's counting down the days every day, and it feels like time is getting slower and slower and slower as he waits for that day to come. Then Christmas Eve, he's eating his dinner as fast as possible. He runs from the table. He runs upstairs. He jumps into bed and he's willing himself to get to sleep because he knows that when he wakes up, it's Christmas Day. And you know what Christmas Day brings. He wakes up on Christmas Day. He gets out of his bed and he walks past all the presents for him at the end of his bed. And he walks to his wardrobe and he opens his wardrobe and he picks up a present. And then he walks out of his bedroom and he walks over to his mum and dad's room and he pushes the door open. And as they wake up, he stretches out his arms to give them a present. Oh, as parents, it's a wonderful thought, isn't it? But here's the point. Here's the strap line that comes up as he stretches out his arms. Hopefully it'll come up on a screen. For gifts that you cannot wait to give. John Lewis tried to imply that Christmas is all about giving gifts, not receiving them. And in a funny way, I think John Lewis is onto something. Spiritual gifts, gifts that are given from God to us, are given so that you can give them to others. They're gifts that you cannot wait to give. Here's our key verse. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are an important part of the body. You have a part to play, and you have a gift to give. And so we here at St. Mary's long to be that. We want to be united, one body, one church, and yet in our unity we have wonderful diversity, different people, ages, stages, backgrounds, and yet all with a part to play. And so we would love to help one another to think about what that part is that we play as we look to give our gift to other people. I'm going to hand back to Caroline and John.